WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The current storyline on the TV show Wise Guy is about corruption in the record industry. Most of the guest stars come from the music world, such as Deborah Harry, Glenn Frey, and Tim Curry. One of the actors who has no ties to the music business is Paul Winfield. He plays Isaac Twine, the head of Shakala Records. Winfield grew up in the Watts area of Los Angeles and has had a long career on stage, in the movies, and on television. Winfield was recently seen on television in The Women of Brewster Place and The Charmings. He got an Academy Award nomination for his starring role in the film Sounder. He also got an Emmy nomination for his role as Dr. Martin Luther King in the 1977 miniseries based on King's life. Now you can see him as a compulsive gambler and record company head in Wise Guy.
Isaac Twine.
Let me turn over.
I know. Oh, man. I love a man with brass, you know. I mean, anybody willing to put himself and his money into a crapshoot business like this has got my admiration. Hey, sit down.
It's interesting in a way. I think most of the roles I've seen you in have been more serious roles in the sense of that this is a very kind of flamboyant character that you're playing in
well,
Wise Guy.
Yeah. And I like playing those kinds of roles, mm-hmm. and in particular in Wise Guys, what they call an arc, where you have about seven chances to make it even bigger, doing seven different shows, you have a chance to grow and to explore a lot of other facets of the character.
I have to ask you something about your voice. Your voice has always seemed to me to be the kind of voice that somehow really lends itself to classical theater. do you know what I mean? And I was wondering. You know, people think of actors as just kind of builds in a way and physical expression, but I think a voice has so much to do with an actor's performance. And I'm not sure what the question is, but I think it has something to do with how your voice affects the roles that you get.
Well, thank you. It's one of the major tools, but I don't have, I'm very envious of other actors' voices. I think a voice like James Earl Jones, who has that great resonance. And
you don't think you have a great voice?
Well, it never, I don't like listening to it, I'll tell you that. It doesn't, I always feel that, well, one of the things I like working on the stage is because I really do then train really working on my voice and the things you can get out of it. But I don't take lessons and do all the things I should be doing if I was a better actor. But it's, but those are the, I mean, it's, truly, it's the words that you're dealing with in really great plays of Chekhov or Shakespeare, and you do more demands are made upon you and on your voice. But thank you very much. I'm glad somebody thinks so.
One of your first big breaks is when you were cast in The Dutchman by Leroy Jones, now Amiri Baraka, and his early plays were very radical, both in politics and in sensibility. Did that radicalism suit you at the time?
Well. Yes, it did. Although I had a lot of very white friends, I think they didn't really understand me, and particularly when we were doing that play, as you may or may not remember, the last scene of The Dutchman, the young black man has this tremendously, like, five-page harangue about racial injustice, and he's going to cut her throat, and it don't push us too far, because there's always this right under the surface, all of this anger and rage and hatred. I mean, I thought I did that speech really well. And my white friends would come, and I said, well, what did you think of the place? Oh, it's just da 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 da. I said, yeah, but what do you think of that last scene? They said, what? Do you mean what last scene? I said, you know, with that long speech? They said, oh, gee, I don't remember very much about it. It sort of went over their heads, I guess. But I found it, it got a lot of things off my chest, anyway.
Well, did that affect your ability to get cast in other roles at the beginning? I'm just thinking that when you get the reputation as maybe being radical, some people won't come near you.
Well, no. I was, and actually I think it sort of helped because I played an awful lot of angry black young men, which came right after. after that, which when Hollywood sort of like really sort of started paying attention when just the outskirts of their town was being burned down, they said, "Who are these people?" So I mean, I played a lot of radicals and what have you, but that was the Dutchman was very good training and preparation for that. I think generally, I guess actually, I really owe it all to Dr. King because before that. Before the Civil Rights Movement, I think, in the South, most of white America, middle America, really didn't have much contact or really care very much about black people or really knew anything about them, as if we really existed on the other side of the moon.
Well, you mentioned Martin Luther King. You played the role of King in a television miniseries.
Yeah.
That's it's like a big responsibility to play somebody like that.
Scared me to death, I tell you.
Well, go ahead.
It was awesome, and the more I was lucky enough to have about 4 months preparation and a chance to talk to people who knew him and to travel around, and the more I found out about him, the scarier it got, because for one thing, I don't know how you really play an intellectual, which I think he truly was. I mean, the only time I saw him was at the Democratic Convention in Los Angeles here in the 60s, and I have to admit that I was not impressed by him. Adam Clayton Powell spoke. It was riveting. I mean, we stood to our feet. Then this sort of very short and sort of unassuming black man came up, spoke very quietly, but also with a southern accent. And being, I guess, from the West and sort of, I thought, sophisticated, I didn't, you just didn't take people with southern accents very seriously. I mean, I think if Einstein had came in and said, "Well, I just discovered the theory of relativity," you know, that nobody would take him seriously. So, I mean, it was, but as I got older and certainly learned more about Dr. King and about the, yes, it's certainly changed my life, and also just a response of people who had met him.
You mentioned how there was a time when you didn't take people with southern accents that seriously. And I'm thinking about the movie Sounder, where you played a man from the rural South in 1933 during the Depression.
Yeah.
Was that a difficult role for you to take on, since you were from the city? You're from Watson.
That was my first time in the South, and it was also quite an awakening for me. Well, it's the accents weren't. I mean, you don't. The accent wasn't hard, and we all sort of softened it up anyway. Just wanted to make them basically human beings. But the South at that time was truly a revelation for me, and it was a big. You'd go by these enormous, beautiful plantations, and some you could even get inside, and you'd see the wonderful craftsmen and the wonderful, truly stylish, luxurious style of living that they obviously enjoyed. And then you go in the back, and you couldn't help but appreciate it. I mean, beauty is beauty, craftsmanship is craftsmanship. And then you go in the back where the slave quarters were, who made all of this possible. And as a young black man, it's sort of hard to describe, but it stays with me quite a bit.
Now, the other day I was flipping the stations on television and came upon you in a role in RPM, which was one of those, you know, campus revolution movies, with Anthony Quinn as the campus president. But I was wondering if that happens to you a lot, that you're flipping around the stations and there you are in a movie.
Yeah, it does. And it's sometimes I watch it and sometimes I don't. But it's a great. Well, it's interesting. You have a lot of different constituencies when you go out there, and people say, "Oh, you know, I just saw you," and what? And they have that particular. It's a science fiction film, or it's something perhaps a little better. It's interesting, and it's sometimes fun.
You were saying that depending on what movie somebody's just seen you in, they have a different impression of you. You know, if they've seen you in science fiction, then that's what they think of you. If they've seen you in an action film, that's what they think. Are you being entertained by seeing yourself in Wise Guy now?
I look forward to it. Yes, I do.